Welcome to the Prayer Motivator Devotional with Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us as Daniel White III encourages us to simply just pray to God in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Daniel White III is the national best-selling author of over 40 books, and he has spoken in meetings across the United States and in over 25 foreign countries. He is also the president of Gospel Light Society. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offers. You can get a free copy of the Prayer Motivator ebook by simply going to prayermd.com and signing up to receive our free prayer newsletter. All you have to do is put in your email address and that free ebook will be available for you to download. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using in this podcast, Purpose in Prayer by E.M. Bounds. The book is available on our website for just $15. You can make your purchase today at prayermd.com or prayermotivatordevotional.com. Now, here's your host, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Prayer Motivator Devotional podcast number 820. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. The simple purpose of this podcast is to encourage you, to challenge you, to exhort you, and yes, if you will, motivate you to simply just pray. This podcast is not necessarily for people who already know the secret and power of prayer and who actually practice genuine prayer on a regular basis. Rather, it is for those who may find it difficult to pray or for people who claim they do not have time to pray. I am convinced that most Christian people do not need to learn how to pray. They need to simply just pray. If I can get you to simply just pray to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in faith believing, I believe that all sorts of wonderful things will begin to happen for you, your family, and whatever God has called you to do. We do not pray based upon our subjective feelings. We pray based upon objective facts found in the Word of God. Dear friends, our prayer motivator passage from the Word of God today is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, which reads, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Allow me to share with you some more important points regarding this passage from Matthew Henry's commentary. The big number 10, that temptations to sin should be as much dreaded and deprecated by us as ruined by sin, and it should be as much our care and prayer to get the power of sin broken in us as to get the guilt of sin removed from us. And though temptation may be a charming, fawning, flattering thing, we must be as earnest with God that we may not be led into it, as that we may not be led by that to sin, and by sin to ruin. That God is to be dependent upon and sought unto for our deliverance from all evil. And we should pray not only that we may not be left to ourselves to run into evil, but that we may not be left to Satan to bring evil upon us. Dr. Lightfoot understands it of being delivered from the evil one, that is the devil, and suggests that we should pray particularly against the apparitions of the devil and his possessions. The disciples were employed to cast out devils, and therefore were concerned to pray that they might be guarded against the particular spite he would always be sure to have against them. Dear friends, our featured prayer motivator quote today is from Dr. Ari Torrey. He said, "The reason why many fail in battle is because they wait until the hour of battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle came. Anticipate your battles." Only God can help you to do this now, but anticipate your battles by the grace of God. Fight them on your knees before temptation comes, and you will always have victory. Ladies and gentlemen, my personal encouragement for you today is this. You will never find time to pray. You must choose to make time to pray. The devil will try to keep you back from praying by bringing things to your mind that you may need to do even, but that can wait until later to be done. Don't let the devil talk you out of praying to God, because he will try. Our prayer motivator devotional today is titled Modern Examples of Prayer, Part 11, from the book The Weapon of Prayer by Dr. E.M. Bounds. Dr. E.M. Bounds, the doctor of prayer, said Lady Maxwell's diary. Lady Maxwell's diary yields some rich counsel for secret prayer, holy experience, and consecrated living. One of the entries runs as follows. "Of late, I feel painfully convinced that I do not pray enough. Lord, give me the spirit of prayer and of supplication. Of what a cause of thankfulness. Oh, what a cause of thankfulness is it that we have a gracious God, to whom to go on all occasions. And I want to add to that, that is a great comfort. If you're sitting around doing nothing, and I'm adding this, like some of us do, worrying and fretting, if you are waiting, for example, in a doctor's office, if you are driving down the road, in fact, one of the best things you can do while you're driving is to pray. Instead of looking for a magazine to pick up, people, pray and read the Bible or meditate on the Bible or quote the Word of God. That's the best thing you can do. There have been some great prayer meetings behind steering wheels and in the car. We've had some of our greatest prayer meetings in the car. So, think about it. Pray everywhere. Pray all the time. Pray always, according to the scriptures. Pardon me. Use and enjoy this privilege, and you can never be miserable. May God help your heart. May God help you understand this. See, this is one of the reasons why God has said repeatedly, for some reason, pray without ceasing. Pray always. Be instant in prayer. Jesus Christ gave a whole parable about the importance of praying always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Ephesians, the Bible says, pray always. In fact, the only thing that God has told us to do always and without ceasing is prayer. I feel sorry for some people who claim to be Christians, and they're miserable, they're angry, they're bitter, they're frustrated. See, because here's the deal, and I'm adding all of this. When you pray to God, something happens. If you are a born-again child, something happens to you. Something happens on the inside of you. One of the things that happens is that you, through praying to God, you gain God's perspective on a situation. Your outlook on life is different when you communicate with God without ceasing. Who gives thanks for this royal privilege? It puts God in everything. And my dear friend, you want God in everything. Before you take a trip to the grocery store, you ought to praise God for the many trips that He has allowed you to take throughout the years. And you need to pray and ask God, as we do, before you pull out, you ask God to grant you a good and safe journey, yes, even to the grocery store, which may be just right around the corner. Many people have died going to the grocery store right around the corner, by the way. Okay, so God is in everything. You might as well invite Him into everything in your life on a detailed micro level. Let God in. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. The greatest thing you can do in the morning is to pray to God. The greatest thing you can do in the afternoon is to pray to God. Having afternoon tea like the English is debatable. Having a siesta like our Latin American brethren is debatable, but prayer is not debatable. Having prayer at night is not debatable. You need to pray without ceasing. One of the reasons why you are so miserable and sad and mad and hateful in your marriage and family life and such a hypocrite is because you don't pray. You feel lost. You feel loose. Unconnected. You feel all alone. You feel depressed and distressed, and that everything and everybody is against you because you don't pray as you should. That's the problem. This is a royal privilege. It puts God in everything. His wisdom, power, control. Oh, what an unspeakable privilege is prayer. Let us give thanks for it. I do not prove all the power of prayer that I wish. Thus, we see that the remedy for non-praying is what? Very simple. Somebody tell me, all of you listening to me live, tell me what the answer is to non-praying. It is praying. I saw my wife getting off on the wrong foot this morning with the devil, and I told her several times, just pray. That happened this morning. I said, you need to pray. You need to pray. She wanted to go do something. I said, no, you need to stay right there and pray. Get your heart right with the Lord. Don't bring the devil in here today. Don't be a doorway for the devil. And that's what God wants some of you husbands out there to do. Protect your wife from being miserable and trying to cause misery by teaching her to pray and praying with her. Because after that, I prayed with her. And I have prayed with her for over 33 years by the grace of God. Every day. We have never missed praying together. Back when I was traveling around the world and preaching the gospel, we would pray over the phone. God put in my heart a long time ago, some 41 years ago, that prayer is very important. And I'm telling you, you're looking at the happiest man alive. I've never been depressed or defeated or disgusted or frustrated or miserable or sad or mad, no matter how many times the devil has attacked. And it's only by the grace of God, by the power of God through prayer. Through prayer to God, even when my sons who have served as technicians didn't know how to do something, and I'm the worst technical person in the world. I don't know anything. But I would pray about a situation and God would give me the solution. I remember telling my oldest son one day, there's got to be some kind of program that would do that for us. And he just said, no, sir, I don't think there's anything like that. I said, let's check. Come to find out, it's about 10 to 12 things, programs that did it for us. And I had him to implement it, and it saved us hours and hours of time to this very day. So I may not be technically savvy, but when you are prayer savvy, you can get some things done. The cure for little praying is what? Somebody tell me, class. More praying. I love the simplicity of this. Praying can procure all things necessary for our good and to do good with. See. Pray to God. God has it all. He owns the hills. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. He has it all. You people are worrying about too much. You're fretting. You're not trusting in the Lord. You're not praying to the Lord. And everybody I have taught to pray, they have told me they feel better. They have a better outlook on life. They're more peaceful. They're not as miserable. And on and on. And this is across the board. If you pray without ceasing and keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord without ceasing, He will keep you. He will put you in perfect peace and keep you in perfect peace. Peace that passeth all understanding, my beloved. Now, I'm saying some good stuff this morning, and I'm sleepy. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm sleepy this morning. Got up early. Got my baby son's computer and looked up some things. And looked up some things on my other older computer. And looked up a passage of scripture that I have been wanting to look up and get a better understanding of it. And I stayed up. And I thought I would pay for it. I didn't think. I'm drinking a little something right here that I thought would kick in, but it's not kicking in that well. But I'm saying some good stuff to you and sharing some good stuff with you that will help you. You people who are depressed, the devil has told you, oh, you'll never get out of it. You're in the slough of despond that John Bunyan talked about. And some of you people who have not read John Bunyan, some of you Christians need to go back and read some of the old ancient literature before you go and read little Susie Q's little book about nothing. And she doesn't know anything. People kill me with this stuff. And they're writing about nothing. And you go buy it and read it, and it's supposed to be all the rage, and it's nothing. Nothing but light, little fluffy, puffy stuff that means nothing. Some of you folks need to go back. And I thank God for my children, because some of the ancient stuff that they found out about and started reading, I didn't even know about when I was growing up. I never even heard of C.S. Lewis in my life. And that's a shame. That's a shame. You're very uneducated if you have not heard of C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest apologists, the greatest apologist now, since Rabbi Zechariah he did so evil. The man is dead now that the people still hunting him down and dishonoring him. I don't know what he was thinking, creating a massage parlors so he can go in and have the young ladies massage him and all this kind of demonic foolishness. No preacher, no apologist for Christ ought to own a massage parlor. There's nothing wrong with a massage parlor place to get a good massage. Some of you people need a good massage because you can't feel your feet anymore. You better get something done before you get your foot amputated. You need to get that blood to moving. And there are some people who can get it moving. But no preacher, including moi, should own a massage parlor. That's just not appropriate. There's some things not appropriate. Especially when you got young, beautiful women touching on you. And you're the owner. And evidently, you're the one. You got it for yourself, really. And then you're trying to get your other preachers to sin like you. Let me quit. But C.S. Lewis, I'm ashamed to say. Now, I mean, I heard of C.S. Lewis, but I was not before my children did, because I was saved for a while. But I didn't know about C.S. Lewis when I was a child. And I really didn't get into some of his fantasy writing, which was based upon the scriptures, until my children came along. They cut their teeth on some of the writing of C.S. Lewis. And they have become great writers as well. So I want to encourage you folks, go back and read the classics. You can go online right now. And yes, most of it is written by white folks, so just get over it, okay, people? Black folk have not done everything. We've done some things too, we thank God, but we haven't done everything. There are other people out here. God has used other people. Get over it, please. Thank God you're black. Okay, enjoyed a Black History Month and all of that. But now be such a Christian that your blackness is not the first thing that comes up to your mind. Christ does. I don't see myself as a black man. I see myself as a man in Christ, man. Okay? And I love all people. And that's because of the love of Christ in my heart. This craziness that's going on in our society today. The dean of a seminary. She's talking crazy, saying that she doesn't even say, "I'm white. God has forgiven my sins and made me whiter than snow," because she doesn't want to use the word white. People, we're going too far. Okay? We're going too far. That's too much. Just calm down. There's nothing wrong with being cleansed by the blood of Christ and being made whiter than snow. Nothing wrong with it. If you start saying other things otherwise, then we're not going to know what you're talking about. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can be made whiter than snow. That's all there is to it. He's talking to everybody. Even his people. Brownish, black, and so forth and so on. But I digress. With this excellent woman praying, embraced all things, and included everything. To one of her most intimate friends, she writes, "I wish I could provide you with a proper maid, but it is a difficult matter. You have my prayers for it, and if I hear of one, I will let you know." Yes. Pray for the small things in life. Pray for that safe trip to the grocery store around the corner. As I have told you, many people just stepped out for a minute to go pick up some milk or some butter, and they died on the way. Make sure you pray before you do stuff like we used to do way back yonder. Before you get into your missile and go out there and hit the road with other missiles, going 55, 65, 75, some 70, 80 miles an hour, pray to God to guide you and direct you, my beloved. Yes, pray over the small things of life. Wives, pray, "God, help me to love and submit to my husband. Help me to love my husband and to submit to my husband and to have a sweet attitude and spirit." Husbands, pray, "God, help me to love my wife as you love the church. And help me to love my children with rewarding love and also tough love. And help me, Lord, to whip this child for being rebellious and disobedient. And help him to see a little bit of hell. A little bit of the pain of hell so that he can be saved from hell." And pray, talk to God. I prayed like that recently. Because see, a loving parent does not want to whip their child. They just don't. They just, it's not in them. They only want to take the time to do that and go through all of what you got to go through to whip your child. You just don't want to do that. You'd rather for the child to just act right. But they're not going to act right until you put the wood up alongside their behinds. Okay? How many times have you had little children that's rebellious and talking about nope and disrespectful and so forth and crying and boohooing and making kind of, you know, just cutting up, and you gave them a spanking, and guess what they did? What did they do? You tell me. They went to sleep. That's what they needed. And ask God to give you the strength and the heart and the love and the mind to whip your children when they have done evil and wrong. They have got to learn obedience. They've got to learn the importance of authority. And ask God to help you to do it. And for most of you, you don't need to give them a whipping the same day because some of you are upset and angry. But you need to get it done because it's going to get worse for them and for you. Pray and ask God to help you, lead you, guide you. To do the tough parents. See, this is why parents want to just dump the children off on other people. They don't want to pray. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to do the dirty work of whipping tails. If you have to, rebuking teenagers, taking stuff, computers and devices away from them, and so forth and so on. Because you don't want to do it. Because you love them so much, you just rather for them to do right. They're not doing right, though, so you got to do the dirty work. And not try to pass your responsibilities and obligations on to somebody else. And then get mad at the teacher at the school because your child is a devil at the school. In fact, the ringleader. Now you want to get mad at the poor teacher who's only getting paid $28,000 a year. I wouldn't do it. And you want to blame the police officer because you have not taught your child to obey commands. I feel my help coming, as you can tell. I'm nowhere near where I should be, but I'm going on for the Lord. I feel my help coming. So small a matter as the want of a housemate back in those days, that was a small matter. It's a huge matter today. A housemate for a friend was with her, an event not too small to take to God in prayer. In the same letter, she tells her friend that she wants more faith. Cry mightily for it and stir up the gift of God that is in you already. Whether the need was a small secular thing as a servant or a great spiritual grace, prayer was the means to attain that end and supply that want. There is nothing, she writes to a dear correspondent, so hurtful to the nervous system as anxiety, fretting, and worrying. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to add to this. You know how some of you people are anxious and you have anxiety and worry and fretting? Not only because you don't pray, you don't obey God. And you're constantly cringing because of the guilt of your disobedience, your rebelliousness, and your stubbornness, and your pride. You won't do right. You choose not to do right. It's not that you can't do right. You choose not to do right. You won't even choose to do the natural obligations that God has put upon you to do as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, as a teenager, as an older child, and so forth. And you're laden down with guilt. Pardon me. Because of the sin that's in your soul, in your spirit, on your conscience. See, beloved, what goes together with pray is obey. Make no mistake about it. Take that home with you. Okay? Take that with you right there. That'll help you. When you think about pray, think about obey. See? And some of you don't pray because you don't obey. And you know God's going to bring it up. See, God is going to bring your sin up that you're doing as a Christian if you don't obey him. That's why you don't want to pray to him. Because you wanted to be a nice little sweet talk and so forth. No, he's going to, as soon as you start praying, he's going to start telling you what you need to do to get your heart right and your life right. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray right now. Say amen and keep on looking up. Straight at me. See, that's why you're miserable. You're sad. You're disgusted. You're frustrated. Things are falling apart because you're not praying to God, you're not obeying God, you're not keeping your mind stayed on God. You're not acknowledging him in all your ways. I'm going to try to find this quartet. I think his name is Charles Johnson. Charles Johnson. Try to find that song. He's with a quartet. In fact, we'll do some quartet singing today. I think we can do that. I don't know. We better stick with what we got. Because Facebook is watching us. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you for doing a good job. I don't know how you all do it, but you do a good job. Because you be bothering us. And YouTube. We don't want to offend anybody. But Charles Johnson used to sing, he can't do anything without the Lord. And back in those, when I heard it first, I said, what is this? You can't do anything without the Lord. I said, okay. But look that up. Let me hear Bob that before Facebook say something in a minute. Charles Johnson in some kind of quartet. And then look up the Sensational Nightingales. Consulate something. And then it's going to rain. Say that again. Come what? Come ye disconsolate. Yeah. That's the Sensational Nightingale. See, you people don't know anything about that. The quartet singing. And then the Canton Spiritual, they sing Sweep Around Your Own Front Door before you come try to sweep around mine. Quartet singing. We'll do some quartet. If Facebook, God bless y'all. If you all will allow us, YouTube, Twitch, we're on Twitch now and other places. Yeah, just don't bother us this week. God bless you. And let us do a little quartet singing this week. Okay? I'm asking you permission up front. Anyway. Stop being frustrated and full of anxiety and mad and evil. And some of you have a disposition to be that way because of the ancestral curse that's on you. But that does not give you an excuse to be that way. Some of you Christian, so-called Christian people, got bad attitudes because you don't pray. Prayer would break up that bad attitude and that bad spirit. And that's why you're going to stay alone and be alone for the rest of your life if you don't pray and ask God to change you from the inside, from on the inside. Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you the truth. You're not even marriage material if you can't control that. Nobody wants to be married to a mean old hag, witch of a woman who can't smile and mad as the devil and miserable and mean. every day and over nothing. No, no man wants that, and no woman wants that. Before you get married, you better learn how to control your spirit and your attitude and your behavior. And prayer is one of the main things that will help you do that. It preys, P-R-E-Y-S, upon the vitals and weakens the whole frame, she said. And what is more than all, it grieves the Holy Ghost of God. Her remedy, again, for a common evil such as this was prayer. Now, this is Lady Maxwell. And to be honest with you, I haven't heard much about her as far as prayer is concerned, but I like what she's saying. And I would imagine that if you wanted to be a virtuous woman, it will start with prayer, my beloved. I guarantee you it will start with prayer. Some of you women will be more pleasant and more beautiful on the inside if you prayed without ceasing and kept your mind and heart on God. And your husband would not be on the hunt for some pretty thing on the job because he has a pretty thing at the house on the inside and on the outside. And there's nothing like a beautiful woman on the inside, a pleasant, cheerful, joyful woman in the Lord. And you can be that way if you pray to God and keep your heart and mind stayed on Him. And you can have it all. I believe women can have it all, contrary to what even some women say. Some women say, no, you can't have it all. I believe women can have it all better than men can. But you got to do it God's way, baby. You got to do it God's way. It's not going to work if it's not done God's way. And you're going to have to trust the Lord, and you're going to have to pray. And you can listen to me. You can change your husband. You can change your husband if he needs to be changed. But you can't do it by running off at the mouth and nagging him and getting on his last nerve. You're not going to change any man worth his salt that way. Now, there have been some women who have been successful in beating down their husbands. But if you want to see a thorough changing of the husband, you shut up your mouth trying to tell him how to change. Keep your mouth shut on that. And open your mouth in prayer to God for your husband. And don't tell me God won't change people. Don't tell me that God will not, if you pray. Watch it. Try this. You want your husband to show a little romance with you and take you out on a dinner date or something like that, and he has not done it in years. Shut up the mouth nagging him about it. Listen to me now. I'm trying to help you. You need to stop listening to your girlfriends and listen to me. If you want to have success with your husband. Your husband has assigned me to tell you this. He wants me to tell you this. He's glad I'm telling you this. He won't tell you. But I will. Shut up with the mouth, nagging him and bothering him. I know you don't like that. Who are you telling me to shut up? You ain't my daddy. Your husband has never been your daddy. He has more power and more authority than your daddy ever had. Okay, forget that. Okay, so don't bring that up anymore. Because quite frankly, because see, I'm a no compromise on the marriage situation. Quite frankly, baby, if you're going to be talking like that to me, you can get your stuff and go someplace else because you're not a helpmeet. You're a hell meat. Well, this lady is trying to teach you. You say, I tell you what, I will never listen to you again. Yeah, I know, because you don't want to hear the truth. You want somebody to back up your evil, and I'm not your pastor doing that. You understand me? So, here's what you need to do now to get a great dinner date. Done by your husband from his heart. Shut up with the nagging. Shut up with this mess about sister so-and-so husband took her to this fancy restaurant. And then they went down to hedonism one down in Jamaica and so forth. And they did this and that and so forth. And you never do anything for me. Okay, shut up with that. Stop it. And pray to God. Open your mouth to God and ask God, God, please touch my husband's heart to take me out on a date and help me to be an obedient, submissive, cheerful, joyful wife to him, whether he does or not, Lord. But that's one of the desires of my heart, that you would touch his heart. Do you believe in God? Do you have faith in God? Well, then, it can be done. It has been done. Don't tell me it doesn't work. I'm telling you it does work. It will work. See? And you out of the blue one day, soon, if you do right by God, your husband will say, come on, let me take you out on a date. It might be to Ben's Rib Shack, but you used to love Ben's Rib Shack, see? Okay? It's a date. You used to laugh your head off and get your hands all greasy eating some ribs with your husband when you first met. So why not go now? God will do it. You say, well, I don't want God involved. I just want him to be romantic towards me. See, you're a devil. You don't know what you're talking about. You must acknowledge God in all your ways, child. And let God do what he wants done. And you obey him. God is not here to obey you. Your husband is not here to obey you. I'm trying to tell you how to have a peaceful, loving, yes, even romantic marriage and family life. And the same thing for you husbands. Pray with your wife. It is your job to do that, my dear friend. It's your job to do it. Well, I don't want it to be a job. I don't care what you want. It's your job to pray for your wife and with your wife. If I had not prayed for my wife and with my wife, she wouldn't be sitting just across from me helping me in the ministry right now. She's not just sitting here doing nothing. She's doing a job to help me in the ministry. That's a fact. I prayed with her every day, prayed for her every day, throughout the day. We would not be married. It would be impossible for us to be married without God intervening and God leading me to pray and leading her to pray. See, let me just tell you people something in your marriages. Don't be too mad to pray, because some of y'all do that. And don't be too mad to have sex. That's just too mad, people. You get too mad to do those two things together. You're too mad. You need to calm your nerves. You're too angry. And that's right. The most spiritual couples have the most sex. Period. There's no doubt about it. All people know that. All people who are saved know that. The couple that prays together has the most sex together. There's no doubt about it. Because, see, when you got the spiritual stuff squared away, then that just comes automatically. You don't know that because you think your husband got to buy you some candy and some rose petals and take you to a steakhouse and spend $147 that you both don't have. And then pay $120 to a babysitter, and you don't even know if that babysitter's a pervert. You shot $400 over a date for that man to be able to have sex with you. Don't act like a prostitute, woman. And husband, stop treating your wife like a prostitute. You don't have to pay for that. I mean, the little girl J-Lo told you that when she told you a long time ago when she was a real little girl. Love don't cost a thing. She said, I can buy my own jewelry. I can buy my own clothes. I don't need for you to buy me anything. Love don't cost a thing. You can't buy me. You can't buy my love. And that's what so many husbands are doing, trying to buy their wife's love because some dumb pastor told them to do that mess. And the pastor's using your money to buy his wife jewelry and so forth to make the other women envious and then make you spend money that you don't have. No, go talk to J-Lo. She told you that she was much younger, man. That's about 20 years ago when she said, love don't cost a thing. Evidently, some young man tried to buy her love. She said, I don't need your money. Love don't cost a thing, man. I mean anything. Okay? Stop trying to buy your wife's love with all this foolishness that you're hearing these preachers talking about and these pastors' wives are talking about. That's not romance. And by the way, when it comes down to married sex, what love got to do with it anyway? Oh, I done shocked you there, didn't I? What love got to do with it? This is a physical need that got to be taken care of. Okay, you may feel some love once you get started. Okay, so pray together. Have sex together. Don't get too mad. Because, see, the devil will make you both mad about the prayer thing. See. When you start praying, the devil going to cause some problems for you. The devil is going to cause you some problems when you start praying together. You people will get naturally mad at each other and stop having sex and be walking through the house like two ships in the night, not touching each other. That's too mad. I've got 99 problems, but that ain't one. No. Never has been. Thank God. How prayer disburdens us of care. This is one of the best prayer motivators ever. Prayer motivator devotionals ever, really. We've been doing almost 1,000 of these things, I think, by now. But this lady right here, she knows what she's talking about. Lady Maxwell, I never even heard of her. I think I heard recently, but not. But she's talking good to me. How prayer disburdens us of care by bringing God in to relieve and possess and hold. Go ahead and talk, Lady Maxwell. God bless your heart. Be careful for nothing. I feel my help coming. Be careful for nothing, says the apostle, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything by prayer and supplication. We had someone in our family who, this was right after the it was strange, right after the freeze, but we were warm in the house by the grace of God. So I didn't think it was that, but we had someone in our family who started feeling a little pain in their feet. So we took their blood, the sugar, we did the blood pressure on them and so forth, and gave them some aspirin and told them to relax. And so I told another family member about it. I asked them to pray about it. And the first thing she been well. The first thing that she said was, have you taken her to the emergency room? And, well, you know, it had just happened. And so I did not think it was an emergency. Plus, we like to give God a chance first. And she does too, so she didn't mean anything by it. But and it just happened, and so we have been praying about it, and it's gotten a little bit better. And if, you know, if she needs to go to the emergency room, we'd be glad to take her. But we're giving God a chance. We're praying to Him about it because God has done a lot of healing down through the years in answer to prayer. And the other thing is, in our present situation, the last place on earth anybody should want to go is to the hospital, to the emergency room, and that's and they don't want you, and they don't want you to go. They don't want you to come. In fact, you got to call to come now. You got to go through a whole lot to just go. You can't just go on. You can't just go up into the emergency room, and it's a whole lot now because of the coronavirus plague. And I can go to the hospital free because I'm a veteran, but I have chosen not to go. I have not been to a doctor's office or a hospital in almost a year, over a year. And so I believe in God. I believe that God answers prayer. I also believe that God can answer prayer through doctors. And she's feeling a little bit better now, and if she, if it persists, we have to take her somewhere to find out why her feet are hurting. And so we ruled out some things here, but and another option is today, because of the coronavirus plague, is to call a doctor and find out what's going on. And we may do that. That'll probably be the best thing that we can do that today. But anyway, Lady Maxwell is talking real good. The apostle says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The figure is that of a beleaguered and distressed garrison, unable to protect the fort from the enemies which assault it, into which strong reinforcements are poured, into the heart, oppressed, distracted, and discouraged. True prayer brings God, who holds it in perfect peace and in perfect safety. This Lady Maxwell fully understood, theoretically, but which was better experimentally. Lady Maxwell got down with the prayer thing. And I want to encourage all of you ladies to get down with the prayer thing like Lady Maxwell. Get serious about prayer. There was a time when women prayed more than men. That is not today. And women in the church and men in the church, teenagers in the church, need to get back to prayer. Now, dear friend, it is time for us to pray. Please remember the announcer, my oldest daughter, Daniela Danny White, will provide the information for you to send in your prayer request at the end of this podcast. Please join me in prayer. Holy Father God, what a wonderful episode today in this long-running podcast, the Prayer Motivator Devotional. My heart has been truly blessed, and I thank you, Lord, for sending me some help. And I pray that the people watching live are blessed, and those who will listen on demand and watch on demand will be blessed as well. And Lord, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We praise you and we thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your holy word. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the power, the peace that comes through prayer, the purpose of prayer. And Lord, to know that it is true, that no matter how we feel, or even how dry we may feel, or cold we may feel, if we would start praying to you, you have a way of thawing us and warming us up. So I give you the glory, praise, and honor for one of the greatest things you've ever given to mankind, and that is the privilege to pray to you, the Almighty God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in faith, believing. Have continued mercy and grace upon us all, and forgive us of our sins, of prayerlessness, of not praying without ceasing, not praying always, as you have instructed us to do. Lord, help every person here, every person, Lord, gathered around the world to pray without ceasing. To pray, and we're praying primarily for those who are saved, and we pray for the salvation of the lost so that they can enjoy this privilege as well. Now, Holy Father God, we pray collectively, we pray individually, together for the following. We pray for over 3 million people to come to know your Savior. We pray for the revival of your church. We pray for the healing of families. We pray for the healing of this nation. We pray for your blessings and guidance for all pastors, church leaders, and missionaries. We pray for the salvation, leadership, and wisdom for the president and for all government officials who run this country and all other countries. We pray now, Lord, for three people who have sent in prayer requests. And we pray for Peregrina. Please bless her family with good health and prosperity. We pray for Lisa that you will heal her body and heal her family, and bless her family and her pastor, and heal him of the coronavirus. We pray for his wife, that you would protect her and bless her. We pray for Octave. Please deliver him from spiritual blockage in his life and from the evil pacts made by his family members against him. We pray, for we do have, Lord, as you know, evil family members, evil church members, evil brethren and sistren. We pray for Kristen. Please heal her hip. Bless her with a better job and money to support her children. And Holy Father God, we pray for the following people who have accepted you or who have believed in you, Lord Jesus Christ, in their hearts by hearing the gospel preached through this ministry. And they got saved. We thank you for saving their souls. We pray, Lord, that you would confirm them in the faith and have them to grow in the faith and to become the Holy Spirit-filled Christians that you want them to be. We pray specifically for Jules, for Monica and Minaj, and all of the other thousands of folks from around the world who have gotten saved through this ministry. Now, Lord, we pray for the following people who have been saved for a while, but who have recommitted their lives to you, who have come back to you through the preaching of your gospel and the preaching of your holy word. They were already saved, maybe in a backslidden situation, and they have chosen to rededicate their life to you. Even though we don't give that kind of invitation, we rejoice with them in this decision and pray that they will keep their commitments to you and be strengthened in the faith. We pray specifically for Lena, Petrus, and Laura. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're listening today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from hell to heaven, allow me to show you how to be saved from sin and hell so that you can have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news, I know, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember, pray, think, do. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Prayer Motivator Devotional with Daniel White III. If you would like for us to pray for you, please send your prayer request to prayer@prayermd.com. If you have questions about salvation, what to do after salvation, are looking for a good church home, or would like to read our pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door, please visit GospelLightSociety.com for more information. Don't forget that you can get a free copy of the Prayer Motivator ebook by simply going to PrayerMD.com and signing up to receive our free Prayer MD newsletter. All you have to do is put in your email address and that free ebook will be available for you to download. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using in this podcast, Purpose in Prayer by E.M. Bounds. The book is available on our website for just $15. You can make your purchase today at prayermd.com or prayermotivatordevotional.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the Prayer Motivator Devotional on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. Tell your friends and family to tune in and discover the power of prayer. God bless.